Before we proceed, I want to take just a moment to remind everyone of the new series plural of classes that will be beginning this coming Lord's Day. Pay attention to those things as the bulletin is posted this coming week, and choose a class and get started at the beginning with it. Also, a week from this Wednesday evening, a whole new series of Wednesday evening studies begin. There'll be a special one that we in the auditorium here and then our young people will also be involved in that will be coordinated with LTC, Rescue from 2 Samuel, and we invite everyone to have that in mind. I wanted to mention also the new Bible reading schedule for the new year is available out on the desk there. If you haven't picked one up, please do that. This is a special kind of fellowship which has been important in our life each year, and in my life it has been. This schedule this year will take us through the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs only. The readings are arranged, you'll notice, without it being certain days for the Psalms or the Proverbs. They're sprinkled in, and that's because there will be a thought or a point involved in each of the readings as we go along. It'll be a little simpler to do, and I think you will really enjoy it. Encourage you to join us to start with in that way. For this last assembly of this decade, we are simply going to focus on a prayer for us. And in doing this, we will let the pattern of our service maybe be slightly different from normal in that there's not an opening prayer or a closing prayer, just a prayer. And maybe a reminder that a prayer doesn't have to be this kind or that kind. It's just a part of the church's life. And it's a crucial part of the church's life because it's where we invite our Heavenly Father to help us under the rule of His Son and indwelt by His Spirit to do His work in our lives and to let us walk in keeping with His will. When you look at the history of the church in the New Testament, you can't do it without seeing the place of prayer in the life of the church. From the beginning, in Acts chapter 2, we're told the church devoted themselves to the prayers, among other things. The letters of the New Testament are punctuated with calls for the church to be faithful in its prayer life. For example, Philippians 4, where we're in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we're to let our requests be made known to God. And that's a crucial part of the peace in our lives. To the Colossians, there's the instruction to continue steadfastly in prayer. So prayer would be related to the steadfastness or endurance or patience in our life together. To the Thessalonians, Paul's words are to pray without ceasing. And in that passage, it's related to rejoicing and the will, it being the will of the Father for His people. In our class this morning, we're reading from Revelation, and we notice that there near the throne in heaven where the Lamb is, there's a golden bowl full of incense, and it stands for the prayers of the saints, which are present in heaven. So in that way, a crucial part of our faithfulness to the Lord and of our well-being as His people is prayer. How do we phrase our prayers? There's not one of us who has the perfect way of doing that. You may notice that for most of us, we repeat words or phrases that we have heard someone use in prayer down through the years. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but one of the things that we could do is to take notice of the models for prayer that we have in the New Testament. We have three of them that are especially important for the whole church. And if we were to take these prayers and think of the phrasing that's here and what's asked of the Father and what the church is saying, then we would see that while prayer is not preaching, that it definitely has a way of calling our minds back to the truth, back to things that are real, back to what our real values are, and encouraging us and making us think that with the Lord's help, we can do and be what He wants us to do and to be. I'd like for these three models to be before us before we pray tonight. One has to do with our praying about our daily needs or our daily life, our daily well-being. A second has to do with our praying about our place in national or community life, our place in our society, the role that we have as the Lord's people within it. And a third has to do with prayer made by the Lord's people when they faced spiritual opposition. When what they do in trying to hold forth the word of light is not only rejected, but also opposed to the point of threats and persecution. Please think of the words of these three readings while John and Wyatt and Cambry read the passages for us.
Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
First Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
And I'll be reading from Acts 4, verses 23 through 30. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.
Now, what we'd like to do is to conclude our year together by simply praying our own form as a congregation of those three prayers or passages combined. I'll lead us with your permission, and if you are comfortable doing so, when we conclude it, you can say the Amen with us. Would you bow with us? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege and ability we have to draw near to you. Father, we pray that you will let your name be kept holy in this world, that you'll let it be respected and honored, and that you'll keep it, the glory attached to it that belongs to you. We pray, Father, that you will let your kingdom increase, that it may fill the whole earth as waters cover the sea. We pray, Father, that your will may be done. We pray that your will may be done in all things, that it may be done especially in our life together and in our personal lives. We pray, Father, for the gift of our bread for tomorrow. We think about the way you've blessed us throughout this year. We're so grateful for your mercies that have been new every morning, that you have met our needs and beyond our needs over and over again. And while we know, Father, that there are things not in our control, we pray that you'll help us to cooperate with you in the giving and receiving of your blessings. Father, we have needed your kind and gracious forgiveness in our lives many times. And while we pray that you'll help us to grow nearer to you as we've sung tonight, we also pray, Father, that you'll help us to be gracious toward other people. We pray that you'll help us when we feel like we have been offended, to be as willing to let go on the basis of grace as you are toward us. Help us to be merciful that we may receive your mercy. And Father, grant us the cleansing, the forgiveness, the renewal, the clean heart, the joy of your salvation that we require and need. We pray, Father, that you will not let us be led into temptation. We pray that we may not be tempted beyond our ability to bear, and that you will, with each temptation, make a way of escape. Help us not to be drawn away from you and your love and your ways. We pray, Father, that you'll not let us be tempted above what we're able to bear, but that you will strengthen us and enable us to stand whatever challenges may come along in the year that we hope by your will be before us. We're thankful, Father, for the examples of that kind of strength that are around us in the congregation here, of people who have been steadfast under trial. We pray, Father, that you'll deliver us from both evil and from the evil one, whose ways it is. We pray, Father, that you will help us to be overcomers, that you'll help us to rise above the evil that may be present in the world, and that you'll help us to conduct ourselves with honor and faithfulness. We pray, Father, that in this way, in our lives together, that all power and glory and dominion will indeed belong to you. And we pray, Father, for those in our country who are in positions of responsibility and who possess authority to rule. We pray that all such persons might recognize that you set over the kingdoms of men those whom you will. And we pray, Father, that those who have authority may use it in pursuit of righteousness and justice. We pray that good will be rewarded, that evil will be punished, and that order will be maintained so that people's lives can be blessed. We pray, Father, that your people in this world may there in that way be able to live quiet and peaceable lives, that we may attend to our own business, that we may love one another, that we may be a blessing to our neighbors, that we may be salt and light in our community. We pray that you'll help us to be able to live with all dignity and godliness. We pray that under these conditions, that others around will be able to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, because we know that's what you want. We know you have sought after people's hearts, and you want love from them and what's best for them. Help us to contribute to that, Father, in every way in which you bless us with talent and opportunity. We're so thankful for what you have done and what you do through Christ to try to bring reconciliation and unity into a very divided world. We know that you are one God. We know that your Son has given himself a ransom in order to bring us to you. And so help us to practice fellowship with each other in Christ. Help us to hold forth the message about what you have done for all men through him, by your own gracious will and wise purpose. And Father, with the world being as it is, sometimes meet opposition to the word of Christ, to the gospel, to the truth about who you are and what you want for us. While we have the privilege of holding forth this message of hope and faith and love with joy, help us, Father, to be prepared for the opposition of the world when it does come. When we meet those who are possessed of that same spirit that the ones had when they rejected your Son and put your holy servant Jesus to death, then help us, Father, to be able to remember that you made the world, that you rule over it, that you work your will within it, that you seek what's best for it, and that you will be with us. Help us to speak boldly of what you want for us in Christ. Help us to serve him openly and faithfully, with respect and kindness always. And Father, we pray that you will attend to the enemies of your cause, that you will deal with them according to your holy will, as would be best, and you'll help us to leave that to you while we keep on living and serving as you would have us do. We're so thankful, Father, that when we meet opposition, that we are surrounded by our beloved brothers and sisters, that we have faithful companionship and friendship to strengthen us and to encourage us along the way. Help us to be both givers and receivers of this kind of kindness in our interaction with each other each day and throughout this year. And Father, as we live our daily lives with your care and keeping, as we live our civic lives with godliness and dignity, as we live our spiritual lives serving with boldness and confidence, we pray that your name will indeed be glorified everywhere, that the fruit of your Spirit will be present in this world among your people, and that the rule of your Son will be honored and respected by every citizen of his kingdom. Thank you so much for your kindnesses, Father. Help us to walk with you and to love each other and to serve the world around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The privilege of doing what we just have done is held to be, in the New Testament, the encouraging privilege that keeps us going. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's the picture that we have boldness to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, that we have in that holy place an intercessor who's there in our behalf, who of course is Christ himself, our great high priest. So we're urged to make use of our privilege of drawing near with a clean conscience and full assurance of faith, and to let that be the thing that helps us to hold fast and helps us to keep the confession of our hope alive, and that helps us to serve each other, or to urge each other on in love and good works. When we offer the Lord's invitation, we're usually doing something different than simply praying. Although, if you think about it, that invitation really is what prayer is, a response to what God has done for us and offers to us. It may be that there is someone here who intended and wanted, before the church's meetings for this year are concluded, to actually become a Christian, to make the good confession, to be baptized into Christ. Maybe someone is here with something on your heart that needs to be dealt with through prayer before this year is over. If either of those things is the case, We're going to offer you the opportunity and the encouragement in that way tonight with this song.